To Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send a question or favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Yes. Thank you. People are saying they're glad to be here. Thank you very much. I'm glad to have you. Yes, hello. Prior shows, they're also archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about developing skills and leadership skills, really, but all kinds of skills that we need in order to, well, properly reach our successful outcome. So, yes, a lot of folk were already answering the question they know I'm going to ask because this is an unscripted show, and we think about what we'd like to know, where we'd like to take it. So I'm going to ask a general question, like I always do, and then we'll find out. So what types of skills do we need to develop? What types of skills do we need to develop? Yes. On the number one that people are talking about, well, they're all kind of people skills. People are talking about people skills. But the number one people skill is leadership, the skill to be able to be a very effective leader, right? And then how about communication skills? I need to be able to communicate what it is that, well, what we're going to do, right? Yes. So communication skills and leadership skills. What other kind of skills? I'm going to call this empathy. People are talking about understanding. And empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Remember that. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Mm-hmm. Let's call the next one responsibility. The skill to be really responsible and get the process done, and also to keep your word, right? Very important. How about enthusiasm? Mm-hmm. And have a positive attitude. It's a skill, too. Because sometimes, well, you know, life intervenes or whatever, and we're not feeling all that tremendously enthusiastic. But it's a skill to be able to project that so that our participants have confidence, feel that they're really getting someplace, feel that they've joined the right group and are giving their time and effort to the right team, right? Mm-hmm. People are talking about expertise. How about a skill of an expertise on the topic? Mm-hmm. Or at least to know when you need an expert and how to find one. That's a big skill, really. Because sometimes we don't have the expertise and we don't realize it. And we go, oh, that's interesting. And we're going to need to go forward on that. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about the type of skills. Now let's be practical, because we're a practical show. And we like theory as much as the next person, but we really like practicality. How do we acquire these skills? Yes, how do we acquire these skills? Good point. Yes, we talk about this somewhat too. Remember that prior shows are archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Yes, we acquire our skills when we intern, don't we, or we volunteer. It's a good way to not only acquire skills and get some experience, but it's a good way to get known in the community too. Because we're going to be talking about our reputation in the community. That's very important. Mm-hmm. How do we acquire skills? How about through observation when we become a participant? Good point. Let's be on the other side. let's really observe a leader that we want to emulate, that we are in favor of, that we really think is doing a good job. Let's see about following that person. Let's observe them. Let's be a participant. It's also terribly interesting to take the other side because you can see how it feels to be a participant, right? How does it feel? How do you like to be treated as a participant? Well, let's try to remember that when we are the leader. How do we acquire these skills? How about mentoring? We could get a mentor. We could be a mentor. Mentoring goes in both directions, remember, in order to be successful. A willingness to listen and learn, right? Yes, we have to have that. And a really understanding that our reputation is important, right? Yes. Our reputation for competence, for truthfulness, for keeping our word, right? Yeah. So let's start. Let's go for leadership and people skills. Yes, this is really true. Muhammad says you need to lead in a manner that inspires confidence. Lead in a manner that inspires confidence. Yes, I picked the right group. This leader is really good. We're really getting somewhere. I understand what's going on, and I understand my part in it, because that's a great deal to do with what we're going to talk about, process. But it's a great deal to do with whether or not you've got some leadership skills and whether you can impart what your expectations are. How do you lead to inspire confidence? People are talking about honesty. I oftentimes call honesty transparency also. If you're a participant, you want to know what's going on, for heaven's sakes, and you want to be told the whole truth. We want to know what it is that we're doing, why we're doing it, and what's going on. You'd like that as a participant, right? Well, you have to remember that as leader, right? Yeah. So let's find out. Let's have some transparency. I announce things a lot. I do. Sometimes what I announce is a fact. Sometimes what I announce I think is a fact, but it turns out to be more of an opinion. And sometimes it's an opinion given to me by someone who purported that it was a fact, right? Because after all, I've been brought in by someone who's not necessarily a participant of the group, and usually I'm corporate, so it's usually someone who is, well, I'm going to call him a boss, right? And he or she represents things to me, and I repeat them as what I was told. But sometimes it turns out that that's not exactly the whole truth. When I find this out, I tell. It's part of transparency and honesty. Because if you're lying to your group, how on earth will they get anything done? And how will they trust you? How will they have confidence that this is the group to be in, for heaven's sakes? Right? Yeah, very important. Honesty and transparency are very important for your reputation, which we're going to get to later as a topic, right? Yes, how will you have a reputation that's good if you don't really work on it and understand that people need to know things, right? People are talking about efficiency in the process itself. Yes? I think that that's very important. I like everybody to be in the loop. We're going to be talking about let's talk about assistance here. Yes, quite a few people are asking on whether or not you should use interns. Yes and no. Okay? We have a rule at Recipe for Peace Now, and we can enforce it. You have to see what kind of an organization you're working for and whether or not that can be done. If we're going to have interns, which we do, they need to be a certain level in their education, as in getting master's degrees and not children, right? We interview them just like you would for a job interview, because it is a job, We don't need dead weight. And it's a lovely resume enhancer to work for us. And you do get school credit, which is something, right? And so it is a job. We really interview. We really think about it. We can have a choice. This is true. And we ask that our interns stay for a while, at least a year. The reason being that they need some training, right? They're young. They're new. They've never done it before. They need some training. And that the time they really get good at it, whatever it is, whatever their task is, you don't want them to be leaving, right? Yeah. And there needs to be a certain amount of time to bring in a new person for them to help train the new person too, because, of course, an internship has a certain time period. So you know when someone is leaving, and you can bring someone in a couple months before so that new someone already has some experience and knows something by the time they become it. Yeah. So all of these things are time, and you need to take all of them into consideration. And you want a lot of times our interns become volunteers, but maybe not. They may move out of town for further schooling or a real job. So you need to be able to know that they will be with you long enough to warrant the time and effort to train them, is what it really is. Pardon me, took a sip of water there. So that needs to be, you need to be consider that. I really think that if you can afford it and you have any kind of budget at all, you should get a paid assistant, someone who gets paid fairly well, actually, so that they can keep the process efficient and you don't have to do the little day-to-day gribbly things, the sending out the emails, the dissemination of information, like that. Sometimes people are always, you need somebody to keep track of assignments too and keep track of what people are doing, interim to when they present to the entire group, so that people don't waste their time and do something sideways, which leads us to the people skill, the leadership skill, of giving clear instructions. Sometimes your instructions are clear to you. They seem clear. You go, I told you that, really, really definitely. But they're not clear to the instruction getter, to the listener, right? They think they've got it. They think they understand it. They think that you and they have the same understanding. Let's find out if that's true, right? Yeah. I have, in a very polite manner, asked people to tell me what they're going to do now that they've gotten the instructions. What steps are you going to take, right? I want to know. I want to know if somehow we've gotten kind of lost along the way. And what I think has been said, what I think has been instructed, is not what they heard, is not what they think, right? And that happens a lot no matter how clear you are. Put instructions in writing is being recommended by George and others. Yes and no. I don't know that it makes it any more clear sometimes. Maybe you can have your participants who's getting the instruction, maybe they can write it out so that you can see it, see their plan, right? Maybe the instructions are given to every group, and therefore you do have a set of written instructions. I like written instructions. I just don't like them if they're going to be unclear or interpreted funny. We have to get that clear, what it is we're doing, right? Yeah. Yes, and with the clear instructions, we're going to establish some goals too. How about establishing when something has to be done by, right? Is that a timeline? People are going for timeline. A timeline to me is something much more formal. I'm thinking more of a task that has to be completed by a certain time so that we can go on to the next task, right? The task might, people asking what a task would be, well, it might be research. It might be interviewing somebody. It might be putting together a grant proposal, right? These are all tasks that have a time limit so that we can go forward after that. Yes, it's a good point that we also need to define success, right? Yes, define success. We have to know what success looks like so that we can truly do it, so that we can truly get it to go. Okay, now we've got communication skills are the next up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave for about 2 seconds. I will be right back. Hang on, don't leave. Talk amongst yourselves, as they say. We're going to talk about communication skills. Let's communicate and think about that. Hang on. Hello, I'm back. Thank you for waiting. Yes, people are asking what's happening. And in the interest of transparency, because people like to know, right? It took me, what, about a minute, and I don't usually leave. I had a touch of food poisoning, I think. Yeah, so I had to, I had to leave for a minute. And I might have to leave for another minute. So, it's not going to kill me, but, yeah, these things happen. And stuff happens. And we have to understand that. And sometimes life happens to our participants, which is why we want to keep track as part of our efficiency as to how it's going. Because if somebody can't do something, well, we'd like them to fess up. We'd like them to fess up that things have happened and that they thought they could fulfill this obligation. But darn it, it's not going to, they just can't at the moment. And we're going to have to look elsewhere. That's not a crime, but it's a crime to not know it and to just let something just go and fail, right? Yeah. That's why we have to have clear communication, right? Clear instructions. Clear that you can always tell me something as a leader, right? I'm accessible. You can ask questions. You can make comments. Right? Because especially in private, right? We can have a meeting. And things will be taken into account. And if for some reason you can't complete your task, well, you've got a team leader. You don't necessarily have to talk to me, right? Because that's why teams have leaders. That's not necessarily the big leader, which is us. But you need to be able to have an avenue of communication so that we can know stuff and so that we can know, well, that we need to know. Also keep track of the progress. Also communication with outsiders. Very important. Julia and others are saying that sometimes the outside groups have your same ultimate goal in mind, but for different reasons. Right? And we need to be able to work together if we can, and usually we can, actually, because there is power in numbers, power in not duplicating the same process over and over and over again, power in pooling resources. And resources are not just money. People are resources too, right? People who are, well, in a different group. People who know something that we would like to know, right? Mm-hmm. Communication with the employer also. I'm going to call whoever it is that brought us in the employer, right? Now, that may not technically be true, might actually not exactly be our employer, but it's a generic term. So let's call whoever it is that's the boss, whoever it is that is being reported to, our employer, right? Although it may not be technically true. So you need communication up also. Communication that this is going as fast as it's going, maybe you could come and help, for example. Or maybe you'd like to come and participate. Come down and see how we're doing, right? Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Also, communication skills with the media is very important, right? Yes, nowadays even more so because the media is a bigger sentence. It's not just traditional. It's all kinds of bloggers and Facebookers and all kinds of folk with an electronic device. Very, very important that the media be taken into account when we're communicating, right? I think you should have a rule. Yes, thank you. Ethan and others are talking about the no blogging, no reporting, no commenting while we're in the process rule. If you don't have that rule, you will be sorry, because things will be taken out of context by your opposition usually and seem like you didn't know what you were doing or seem like something bad was talked about. No, 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 no. Let's not put things down in writing. Let's not speak with the media until we speak with one voice, and not while we're in the process, right? This one voice is your media spokesperson. Is it you, the leader? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe we have someone else in the group who is more well-spoken on this topic, who is dying to do it, who is an expert, an acknowledged expert in the field, right? More impressive. More news coverage if you get somebody who's truly an expert, right? Yeah. So that's very important to have a media spokesperson. And yes, and decide what that spokesperson's stance is going to be. And then we need to work towards it. The next skill that we're going to have is empathy skills. Remember that empathy is not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding. I understand why you say that. Let's talk about it, right? Do you understand why I have taken this position? I mean, let's answer. Yes. Hussein says, answer the 5W questions for yourself, too. Answer the 5W questions for yourself, too. Answer them in private for yourself so that you know what you're doing. And so when somebody asks you, outside of your own head, somebody asks you in public, so to speak, and might be in front of the group, which is public, you have an answer, and you have it well thought out. You've really thought about what's going on, and you've thought about why. So what are the 5W questions? Good question. We've got some new folk. Welcome to everyone. The 5W questions are the questions that you will have to ask in order to gain understanding. They are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why. these 5W questions will allow you to elicit the answer that you need to hear, right? Who told you that? What did they say? Where did you hear it? When was it told to you? And why did you make this conclusion, right? Are those the questions always? Nope. Are they answered always in that order? Nope. Do you need to ask all 5 of them? Not always. Those are all judgment calls. But somewhere along the line, we need to have empathy skills because we need to know stuff. The empathy, these questions are oftentimes asked of our participants, not of outsiders, right? Of ourselves, of our participants, of outsiders, right? Everyone needs to think those through. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true too. Suki and others are talking about the fact that you need to have empathy because sometimes people are, and understanding that sometimes people are, I don't like to use the word stuck, are obligated to a certain culture. Mm-hmm. And might be training, right? Training as to this is how we do things in our culture as this kind of people. But I see it a lot. I see that too, yes. Might be a religion, might be a culture, right? And with an idea of what is right and what is not right. I see it in corporations too. They have corporate cultures, right? A way we do things. And what we're doing needs to fit within that way we do things, or everyone will be quite unhappy, quite taken back, quite, well, that's not what I had in mind, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. So you have to look to corporate as well as what you think of as culture. Mm-hmm. And have empathy, have understanding. And then they need empathy and understanding for you, and we can reach consensus like that, even though our ideas are quite different. Mm-hmm. Yes. How about really talking about the efficiency in the process, but also the enthusiasm skills, right? Yes. Now, we will have a more efficient process and have more responsible reactions, right? Because we need to be responsible human. We're the leader. But you need to be an example, a model of enthusiasm, which is our next topic, right? Once we get to know each other, once we know what we're doing, let's have some enthusiasm for a successful outcome. It gives our participants a sense of peace, a sense of, I know what's happening, I know what's going on, we're going to make this, a sense of confidence that it's going to be all right. We're going to manage to reach our successful outcome. It's all good, right? Yeah. And your participants also, in fact, I feel more enthusiastic as leader. If you feel like you're getting somewhere, you understand what I mean? You feel like you're really, really getting somewhere. Like it's gonna be fine. We're working our way towards it. Yeah, we're it. We're gonna get this done. We're gonna reach consensus, right? Mm-hmm. And as leader, we model enthusiasm, and it generates confidence in others. Yeah, generates confidence in others, right? Mm-hmm. People are talking about the timing of the process. Yes. Andrea and others are talking about the fact that we need to really, really think about the timing, think when things have to be put in. And if you need to make a time estimate, remember I'm calling everybody the employer. If the employer wants a time estimate, how long is this going to take? Figure double of what you think And then you can come in under time, and everybody will be really pleased, right? Yeah, figure big, because otherwise you're going to have to say you're delayed. Oh, we didn't make it within our time estimate. Well, that's kind of not desirable. So let's figure big, right? Let's say, oh, we need, I don't know how much time, but more time than we could possibly think we're going to need, because sometimes you do. Because you run into, well, life. You run into people that don't quite get things in on time. You run into new issues that you didn't know you had, right? Yeah. This is all very important and all why we need to really know our timing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make a big time estimate. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you'll feel more enthusiastic. This is true. Mm-hmm. This is a true, too. I've talked about being leaders of enthusiasm and really making it a good group and the idea that we're going to go forward. Yes. Padma says the participants feel enthusiastic that they have chosen the most desirable team. Participants need to feel enthusiastic that they have chosen the most desirable team. Yes. Folks talk, right? Yeah. Folks talk about stuff. And you want to be the team that everybody wants to be on, the most desirable one, right? Yeah. Because, well, we're getting somewhere. Remember, yes, thank you. Marta and others are saying to remember that you need to celebrate each success. First of all, it keeps up enthusiasm. Second of all, it shows us how far we've come, because sometimes it's taken a while and it's hard to remember how low we were to begin with and how far we've come. But we've come very far, and we should be proud. Let's celebrate, right? Celebrate each step. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Next thing we're going to talk about is expertise. One of the things we would like to know, which is why we ask the 5W questions also, is what kind of skills do you have, participants? What do you know? What can you do? What is your area of expertise, right? Yeah. This is a very important question because it shows us how much expert knowledge we have. And it also indicates to us as leader how to divide up the team if we're making subcommittees, if we're dividing up, right? Yes. So let's look to our own expertise and skills, and let's look to the expertise and skills of the other people in the room, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that we can see what we need. Mm-hmm. And the expertise skill, the skills to really determine when you need an expert. Mm-hmm. The skill is to determine when you need it, and not before and not after, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. This is a good point, too, mm-hmm, that Jackie's making and others. She said that you may need an outside third party to break an impasse and end a disagreement. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you need to bring in an expert so that you've got an impartial third party looking at the whole group dynamic and deciding what to do about it, right? Helping you decide. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need the third party to move you forward. Mm-hmm. Somebody respected. Somebody that you want to have is your expert, right? Yes, to break an impasse, exactly. Break a, we can't go any further because we've gotten bogged down on this argument, type argument. Mm-hmm. Yes, folks are talking about wanting to see all the sides to prevent unintended consequences. Yes, that's what experts are for, too. To really tell you what the consequences are going to be if you do this act. The unintended consequences problem won't happen as frequently, if you want to know the honest truth, because sometimes things happen, is if you can go forward or not, and which direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it prevents the unintended consequences. Corporations would like to know those too. So we have to look at all sides. Let's get in dueling experts. Yes. So now that we've decided we need these skills, how are we going to go about acquiring them? It's kind of a tall order, eh? How shall we acquire these skills? How about we volunteer, or we intern, or we become a participant? Yes, exactly. Lee says that it is direct practice and observation to volunteer or intern or in some way become a participant. Direct practice and observation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a lot of experience not necessarily being the leader, not necessarily being in charge, but being the participant, because it's interesting to see how other people do it, how it is that they are conducting this, what it is that we need to know, what it is that we need to determine so that we can do it successfully ourselves, right? Yeah. What is it that we need to bring forth, right? And if we volunteer or become someone's intern or participant, we can see how that's done in other situations. Now, it won't be exactly the same in ours, because nothing's ever exactly the same. But you do, as Lee says, get direct practice and observation. Yes, and Thomas is adding, from the participant's viewpoint. Mm-hmm. From the participant's viewpoint. There's nothing wrong with that. It tells us something. It tells us how involved they are. It tells us how to really handle consensus building, right? Mm-hmm. Let's volunteer, let's participate. We are not spies, because we are legitimately interested in the outcome, and we're doing it, right? Right. Mm-hmm. It's a good point about, I'm looking at what people are writing. Remember always the civility rules also. Whenever any of these happen, we acquire skills, when you go find expertise, when you are in a leadership position, they are the only skills, they are only rules that Recipe for Peace Now has, but they're really important. At their heart, the civility rules say we will not be rude to each other. We will not be rude to each other. We will take turns. We will consider all sides. We will listen with courtesy to the experts and think about what they have to say. Right? We will not be rude to each other. We will not jiggle change, sigh, do the equivalent of passing notes in class, which is, of course, nowadays texting. And like that, we will not be rude to each other. The civility rules must be modeled by the leader, and they must be announced, even if you don't think you're going to need them with this group. I announce them with all groups, and they must be enforced immediately, consistently, and fairly. Immediately, consistently, and fairly, right? Yes, because they permeate everything. You cannot bring forth the civility rules and say, remember the first day we met together? Mm-hmm. I told you about the civility rules, now we're going to enforce them. No, if you've already lost civility, well, I guess nothing's ever too late, but it's kind of too late. Don't wait that long. Don't wait till you've got the problem. Get rid of it first. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, took a sip of water. So, We're going to volunteer or intern or become a participant so we can see that viewpoint, witness how to handle conflict, and hopefully witness how to keep civility in the room. Right? Yeah, very interesting. How else to acquire skills? How about some mentoring? Remember, mentoring goes both ways. Now, I'm often asked to mentor someone. And my question is always, I always say, well, yes, I'd be delighted, but what am I going to get from the relationship? Right? Yeah. Because if it's not a two-way street, if it's not mentoring in both directions, it will not be successful. Everybody has to understand that they are giving something, giving their time, their expertise, and like that, but they are getting something in return, right? Maybe someone is stuck doing whatever kind of a job they've got. They need some mentoring. They need some help. And maybe you've got something non-job related that you could use some mentoring on, some sort of a hobby, right? Yeah. And maybe you'd like them to exchange some sort of skills that you don't have. So mentoring goes both ways. Yes. You can learn new ideas from old solutions. Learn new ideas from old solutions. Yes, good point. Andre and others are saying that this is not necessarily so easy to do. But you learn from the benefit of experience, and you learn from the benefit of new ideas. And that's really important, to be open-minded to the new ideas, which is our next topic, a willingness to listen and learn. Willingness to listen and learn, right? Sometimes people get into an idea that the way it's always been done is the way we're going to do it. Ever hear anybody say that? It's always been done this way. We're going to do it this way now. Ah, gee. Always been done this way, we're going to do it this way now. No, just because it's always been done this way doesn't mean that now is not the time to modify, right? Flexibility is the key, my friends, right? And the willingness to listen and to learn and to leave your comfort zone, right? Leave the box that says this is the way it's always been done. Now, maybe this is the way it's always been done. It's still good. And we can all stay in our comfort zones and to be happy. I mean, that is might be the moment to say, you know, this really is good. Yeah, this is excellent. But maybe not. Things change quickly, especially with technology. The way it's always been done? Ah, gee, we're not going to write with a quill pen anymore, are we? Was it successful at the time? Well, yeah, Benjamin Franklin did it. But things have gotten better since then. Let's leave our comfort zone. Or thank you. Thank you very much. Zoe and others are saying that is not leaving your comfort zone. That is expanding it. Yes, let's expand our zone of comfort. So that's what we're going to talk about, and then I think we're going to try to get to a recipe. I know you guys like them, and sometimes I don't quite make it, but we're having a wonderful discussion. The last topic we're going to talk about is getting a good reputation. You must do this through experience, of course, and it's carefully cultivated. Well, really by a combination of everything we've just discussed and how you treat people and your communication skills and how you develop what needs to be done and do it, right? Yes. You need to have good reputation so that people want to go to you. Yes. People are saying you need to be always vigilant of your reputation. I suppose that's true, really, because it's something that you consciously do, right? Consciously tell the truth, consciously have transparency, consciously know when you need an expert to be brought in and don't insist no, right? Yeah, these are all conscious and important acts that go and help your good reputation. Because people go, wow, Sue really knows what she's doing. And if we hit a stumbling block, she knows how to push it aside. Wow, that's really great. Yeah? Yeah. People are talking about being vigilant about their reputation. You must always be vigilant about your reputation. Because it's easily smeared, easily maligned, right? And you must be careful to answer and to make certain that people understand that whatever has just been said is plain out and out not true, folks. And that's not how it really was. See, that's use of the media. Now, we're also going to be on good terms with our fellow participants because we're going to network together. We're going to find out things about each other, having empathy. And because we're going to have food, which is a tool. Remember that food is a tool. You could also be hungry, this is true. But it's really a tool to get us to talk to each other, to get us to network, to get us to really see each other as people and not as symbols of whatever side we're on. Right? Yeah. If you're going to have food, and you are, because it's a good idea, then we're going to take a survey and find out if anyone has any food allergies or perhaps religious or some other kind of prohibition, right? And we're going to ask our participants to bring a list. What is in the food, not just what it's called? Now, I think that we should have a safe recipe, one that everybody can eat for sure, and has very familiar ingredients, because, of course, we have the list, right? And an adventure recipe. A little more out there, might even have some alcohol, which is burned off, but people are suspicious about it. And like that. Let's do the safe recipe at the moment. I think we're going to have time for one, maybe two. Let's give it a try. So, the safe recipe this time is meatballs with tomato sauce. Everybody loves it. You serve it, of course, with some sort of starch, rice, which is always popular around here, pasta, whatever you think. So, let's have 2 pounds of ground beef. I like it relatively lean. People, there's a kind of a dissension about that. I, first of all, with meatballs, I think it holds together a little better because you don't have all that soft grease, all that soft fat, but you can decide. Let's have 2 pounds of minced ground beef. You want to make this an adventure recipe, you can add pork. Have half and half beef and pork. But a lot of people don't eat pork. That would make it an adventure recipe. 3 cloves of garlic. You got 2 pounds of ground beef, or half and half pork and beef. 3 cloves of garlic, nicely crushed. Let's have finely chop up a nice onion. I like these sweet ones called Vidalia's, but that's just me. Let's have 1 cup of breadcrumbs, 1/2 teaspoon of cumin, 1 egg beaten to keep it all together, and 2 ounces of all-purpose flour, right? And we put the rice, the pasta, whatever the starch is on the side. So we're not going to worry about that because everybody will pick up their own. So let's do it. Now let's think about the sauce. That's the meatball part. For the sauce, we're going to have 2 tablespoons of olive oil, another onion that we're going to slice up. The first one was minced. This one's going to be sliced. A red and a yellow, if you can find it. Bell pepper, seeded and diced, right? 2 garlic cloves, crushed. 2/3 cup of canned chopped tomatoes. And 1 2/3 cup of beef stock. This is going to be so delicious. That's the sauce. Place the meatballs except for the oil. Let's get some flour also, small amount of flour, like a half a cup, because we're going to need to hold things together. Mm-hmm. The meatball ingredients, except the flour and oil, and the ginger and the ground pepper and like that. Yeah, they didn't even consider that. Let's take the meatball ingredients, except the flour and oil, mix it, squish, 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 little balls. I wet my hands, right? Make meatballs. Hey, that's what we're making. You've got them all nice and lined up and like that. Let's dust it with a little flour. Mm-hmm. Because it'll keep it together better and make a nice crust. We're going to take that oil. We're going to heat it in a big skillet. Cook the meatballs. Mm-hmm. Cook them all around until they're brown, right? 6 to maybe more like 8 minutes. It depends how flattened you've gotten them. And really, we're making balls, so you probably don't want it. For the sauce, we've taken the meatballs out, right? Yeah. We're going to use the olive oil, cook the onion and peppers. In the same skillet, we wiped it out with a paper towel. Take about 10 minutes. Add the garlic, another couple of minutes. Pour in the tomato and the stock. Bring to a boil. It will be a better sauce if you bring it to a boil. Lower the heat and simmer for about 15 minutes, right? And then kind of take it off the oven and let it think for a while, right? Let it kind of rest. Mm-hmm. Now we've got our meatballs. Add the meatballs to the pan because we had that baby food. Yeah. Add the meatballs to the pan. And we're going to spoon the sauce over them. Oh, yummy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say people are talking about whether or not they want it to be baked. You don't have to. You've got the onions and the peppers and like that all simmered and all cooked and all soft. You've got all the sauce there. You pour the tomatoes in the stock. I'm going to take the meatballs and they've already been cooked in a pan, right? They've been browned. They look delicious. They're not quite done. And besides, they haven't simmered in the sauce. I like the sauce to be on the top of the stove, the tomatoes in the stock, bring it to a boil, and add the meatballs right to it. Mm-hmm. And let it sit in there and simmer for a few minutes, right? 10 minutes. You've gotten your stock's really done, your sauce. Your meatballs are really done. Now let's incorporate them so everything tastes yummy, right? Yeah. People are asking, you probably heard me say the word baby food. People are asking if it would be good to serve to a child. Well, does the child have teeth? Yeah, why not? Serve it with rice, serve it with pasta. Make sure it's not too hot, right? Not too physically hot. I have not put in chilies and things. You might have noticed that. The reason being that I think that it is important to really not have things too spicy, especially your safe recipe, and then get back. And you could, if you want Tabasco sauce, you want jalapeno sauce and like that, well, it's on the side. Take it off the buffet, right? Yeah, add more spice to yours, but make a more basic dish, because that's why it is the safe one and not the adventure one. We didn't put a lot of jalapenos and things in it. Yes, anybody can eat it. Although, quite frankly, and I mean this in the nicest way, well, all right, maybe not. People are asking about who should be invited to the food. Sometimes there is a point at which, especially I do it like the holidays and things, sometimes we have a celebration of a step well done, right? And we invite extra people because it makes it a better party, right? And people bring spouses, significant others, children, yeah, children that are capable of being social, not infants. But yeah, it makes, and then everybody, that makes for better networking, right? That makes for more people who are happy and pleased. And also it lets you meet everybody. And so you think, oh, well, this is kind of cool. We can really deal with each other because you're like me, right? Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with that feeling. You're like me. I've got grandkids too, right? And so it might be appropriate to actually have people come after the negotiations are over for the day. And we're having our potluck, right? Yeah. Yes, they can bring something. That's a very good idea. Yes, people are saying, well, they can actually bring something, and then we'll have an even better potluck. Yeah, why not, actually? Mm-hmm. Yes, which is why we have some safe recipes, too. If people, and that's why we need everything to have a list, to have a note what's in it, so that nobody gets sick and has a bad time or eats something that they have a prohibition. Sometimes people aren't allergic, but they have a religious, a cultural, a personal prohibition to something that needs to be respected. And that's why we need to know what is in what we are serving. My friends, we are out of time. We will get to the chicken and marsala, which is our adventure one, and then I'll have another safe one come up next time. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your participation. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. If you want to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website. Thank you for coming. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for listening. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.